Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Standing Room Only podcast. Yes, I'm your host, Ben Standig. I cover the Washington Commanders for The Athletic, which of course means I'm here in Ashburn. Day one is in the books, and Jaden Daniels, we don't have to debate it anymore. We don't have to worry. We don't have to ponder emojis or golf games or anything like that. He is the number two overall pick and Washington's likely starting quarterback moving forward. I'm going to discuss that and maybe have a quick thought about day two based on what happened in day one. I'm going to do this a quick one here because it's late in Ashburn, but kind enough to join me for the first time on the podcast, my guy David Harrison. The man has so many titles. The Locked On Commanders podcast. What are the other 12 jobs you have?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the reporter for now it's called Commander Game Day of on SportsIllustrated.com, and now I mean I guess editor. I don't really have an official title yet, but senior writer, editor, something of that nature. Yeah, just doing a little bit of everything.
All right. Well, so you know. Yeah, and look, you guys know the rest of the deal. Obviously, check out what I'm writing on The Athletic. I'll have a story up about this pick, and we talked to Adam Peters about this, who was, I would say, for the first time since we've had him, was very lot of gushing, a lot of enthusiasm, and he explained what went on with this search and why there was some sort of cloak and dagger aspects. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Ben Standig. You are on Twitter?
DHarrison82. All right.
All right, this is like the down and dirty edition. It is finally Jaden Daniels. The deal is done. Look, I've explained here many, many times that these guys have not been talking. Be careful of the groupthink. And all that said, you know, I've been saying Daniels as the guy since early March. Obviously, it's now happened. Even at the very end, though, David, like I was like, look, I feel confident enough based on where it's been this whole time to think it's going to be him, but you never know. I said on Kevin Sheehan's show earlier today, that meaning Wednesday, that Thursday, that I had a GM just the day before say to me, he's still hearing Drake May. And I'm like, oh no, is this like echoes of something that was before? Is this new? But at the end, I was pretty confident. I think I told Sheehan today, like 90% that it'll be. So it was there. How was it for you this week? Were you it's going to be Daniels, or were you like, sure, McCarthy, May, who knows?
Yeah, I'm like you. I mean, not from early March, but late March, pretty much right after the scouting combine is when I really started diving into the quarterbacks and trying to, you know, make the same connections I think a lot of us made of what the team was saying from GM Adam Peters, Coach Dan Quinn, and then Cliff Kingsbury's style. And what I really kind of attached myself to was the fact that Cliff Kingsbury, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn have no cross pattern. They never worked together at another stop. And when Dan Quinn talked about his hiring Cliff Kingsbury, he literally said, I've gone against him. I know how hard it is to game plan against his system, his scheme, his style, and I know that I don't want to play against him, so I, you know, brought him in here because I know how hard he is to defeat. So when you do that, you don't hire a guy in that circumstance and bring him in and say, hey, I don't know you, I know how to go against you, but I want you to change what you are. I want you to change your stripes. So not expecting Cliff Kingsbury to have to change what he did as an offensive coordinator, head coach, play caller, whatever you want to call it, Jayden Daniels just made the most sense from Jump Street, you know, and as many times I looked at the other quarterbacks, and I think the important thing that a lot of people lose in the conversation is it's not about disliking Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr. It's about trying to figure out which guy is the best fit. And it just made the most sense from that point forward. And it just was every time you looked at it and you say the yeah, buts, what about the sack numbers? Yeah, but what about the throws over the middle of the field? You look at all those things and you still say, but he is still the right guy. And Adam Peters echoed that after the draft, after the first day of the draft.
Yeah, no doubt for sure. That was the thing, you know, we have talked in recent days here about how JJ, I had Logan Paulson the other day. We were both sort of having a JJ McCarthy fan club kind of moment. Yeah. Not that either of us were saying we prefer him to Daniels, but just something about him. And, you know, there's some Brock Purdy in him, and that could be appealing to Adam Peters and maybe even Dan Quinn, because that's a guy that people would view like that Kyle Shanahan would like, et cetera. Adam Schefter during the draft said that it was between Daniels and McCarthy. To your point of like the fit with Kingsbury, that was my hang up with McCarthy. It didn't quite seem like it made sense, and you wouldn't want either of them to sort of change. And I think to that end, Daniels made the better fit. I think it was maybe, again, so much cloak and dagger. I can't say that we knew 100%, but it wasn't like a huge surprise by the end that it would be Daniels. I think what was most interesting to me was hearing from Adam Peters about this. After saying nothing about nothing, he says, yeah, we kind of knew for a while that it was Daniels. And we're like, dude, you guys have like the number one pick, basically. You couldn't have just thrown us a bone, right, ended it, right. Give us something. Okay, no. He also said, which I thought was interesting, is that he mentioned previously, maybe it was the owner's meeting, that because San Francisco not needing a quarterback, he wasn't really tracking them as an evaluator, watching games on TV, but whatever. And that he didn't really start watching Daniels until he got here. And when he started watching the tape, it sounded like it was like love at first sight. Mm-hmm. He was just gushing about his ability as a passer, as a runner, his instincts, his decisiveness on the ground, the way he talked about sort of, he called it like slashing, but sort of like the way he just sort of was able to see the holes glide around defenders. And just could not stop raving about him. Also, as a person, you know, they spoke to coaches, people in his life, what have you. So it was interesting to hear Peters on that front. How about from you? Was there anything from Peters today on Daniels or the situation overall that kind of stood out?
Yeah, I really gravitated towards the comment of his decisiveness as a runner. You know what I mean? And I think that kind of is a little bit of an insight into one of the big knocks on Jayden Daniels, is that sometimes maybe he comes off of his reads too quickly and becomes a runner before he gives the play time to develop. And, you know, the biggest thing about a quarterback is you have to be decisive. Like, it doesn't matter how strong your arm is, how fast you are, how smart you are, how well you read a defense. If you can't make decisions, that is the worst thing you can possibly not do, really, in the NFL. So when you get these guys in a room, and this is what they do in Indy, Senior Bowl, you know, top 30 visits, that's when you get to know the player. And is it you're too quick to come off your reads and become a runner? Or is it, well, hey, you know, in pre-snap, I knew my third read wasn't going to be there. I had my first read. By the time I was getting my second read, the pressure was collapsing in. So I said, don't waste time doing that. Just get out and go and make a play. If that's the situation, that's a great decision. That's a great play by your quarterback. That's exactly what you want. And when you go back to the tape, and I can't say that I watched every single Jayden Daniels snap, but time and time again, I was looking for some of those reps that's like, okay, one read, he comes off, it turns into a runner. Well, when I pause it there, when he starts to become a runner, I don't see a read that he's missing, or I don't see something in him, what could be his progression that he's not doing. It's pretty much always a situation where it's he tried to make his read, and yeah, maybe there's a guy who's wide open on the other side of the field, but you can't expect a quarterback to see through the back of his head, so you don't hold that against him. So if it's situations like that, then you can live with those. You know, the only question I really have as far as, like, you love the decisiveness, but then you also have to love the security of protecting the key asset. And obviously the number one asset is the football, which Jayden is very good at protecting because his turnover numbers show you that. But the number two asset is him. And he's got to understand that, I think. And in the NFL, you know, sometimes not taking those sacks, sometimes not taking those hits as a runner, I think that's where he has to, as much as he values the ball, he also needs to start understanding he's got to value himself and how important he is for this team.
I think that's one of the things, like when I first started to really get into this, the highlight, well, it's not a highlight tape, the tape of him getting pummeled over, I mean, it was like some huge hits, and you're just like, whoa, what is going on here? Does he lack spatial awareness and he's going to break? He doesn't weigh much. But then, yeah, like you said, as you watch more, you see the special plays, and you talk to people, you just have to hope that he figures this out. Again, because it's late and this is more about the draft per se than Daniels. We can kind of end the evaluation here. If you want to hear more, though, I talked to a ton of people this cycle: Greg Cosell, Chris Sims, Logan Paulson, my last podcast. You can go check those out for that. Now, the silly controversy, I guess, involving Daniels with how over the last 10 days or so, it was like, wait a minute, is there some sort of friction because of the Top Golf thing and the fact that I've laid this out before, but I think Daniels' camp assumed that it was going to be a solo outing the way typically these things are. They were maybe a bit caught off guard that it wasn't. And, you know, then that led to people discussing the idea that Daniels might want to play elsewhere. We know about the Antonio Pierce connection with the Raiders. When asked about that today, Peter was like, look, he's never said anything to us. And he even kind of said that because there wasn't much to discuss, that these random topics pop up. So he kind of blew it off. Jaden Daniels, needless to say, it's the moment of his life. Right. He's smart enough to, I guess, to know we're good. I'm get to do what I want to do as the number two pick and make a lot of money, have a lot of fun, hopefully. So he seemed to be excited. He even seemed to know, like, hey, Adam Peters was with San Fran. He helped build that thing into a winner. Cliff Kingsbury had Kyler Murray playing at a really high level at various points. So I think we can finally put Top Golf Gate to rest. But, you know, it's good we checked it off that, okay, well, what happened there, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it absolutely needed to be asked and answered, and I like the answer that Adam Peters gave. And I think with Jaden, I mean, again, you look at the way he spoke about the team after being drafted. You know, he was asked, like, hey, what, you know, about the weapons, what's exciting about the Washington Commanders, and he rattled off names. You know, he didn't just say Terry McLaurin. Everybody knows Terry, but he talked about how he knows John. He talked about Brian Robinson Jr. He talked about the history of being in San Francisco. And you know, I actually saw somebody on Twitter who said, yeah, that's great. That's all stuff that the public relations staff fed him before he jumped on the Zoom. Okay, certainly possible. But here's the thing. You're a 20-something-year-old kid. You just became a millionaire. You just got drafted in the National Football League, realized a childhood dream. You got all your family around you, all the cameras. Now all the media is gleaming down on you. You really think you remember all of that stuff that the PR just shot in your ear right before you got on the Zoom? So if you did, that's great, because that shows he retains information really, really well. So either way, it's good news. It's either he was actually invested in learning this team before he got drafted to this team, so he knows about the squad, or he has really amazing information retention ability and the ability to repeat it,
right,
which is going to come in real handy in the huddle. So either way of this, whatever conspiracy you want to believe, honestly, so just the emoji thing, I don't want to throw in any more oil on this fire, but it's possible, ladies and gentlemen, that these agents did not realize that this was a possibility for Jaden and did not prepare him for this visit the way that they feel like they should have and were embarrassed. And some of these reactions could be them trying to save face in front of their client. Just a little bit of an added little bonus there. So
yeah, no, that was exactly my theory that I got into. I had a little insight into the situation, and that was kind of where I came to a conclusion as well. All right, so day two coming up. This is where it gets really – now, this was – I don't know what's the steak or the sizzle. Is Jaden the steak and day two with five picks is the sizzle, or it's the other way around? But
I think Jaden's the steak.
Okay, so there's a lot of – I don't know, maybe this is the potatoes coming up. It's the part that fills out the meal, fills out the roster. They've got five picks tomorrow. They still need to tackle. Mm-hmm. They tried during the draft to trade up. I was told they went as high as the teens to try to figure something out, but it just didn't work. Peter said, acknowledged that, hey, we made calls. Opportunities weren't there. The problem is that all the tackles now that were being viewed as first-round picks are gone.
Yeah.
Tyler Guyton, Jordan Morgan were the last two guys picked, nine offensive linemen in total. So now they're looking at guys like Roger Rosengarten and Patrick Paul, mm-hmm, and others, not to mention every other, other than taking a defensive tackle, they kind of need everything. But even there, one of the better defensive tackles, Johnny Newton, still available.
Yeah.
Guys like Cooper DeJean fell out of the first round, defensive back from Iowa, Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner from Alabama. I mentioned Newton, Marshawn Neal, and the edge rusher, et cetera. All things being equal, do you have a preference for what they pick 36 and 40, whether it's the player or just the position? Do you have a preference for, you know, there'll be three picks will be made, but do you have a preference for whatever, a position or a player?
So I think they obviously need to go tackle. You know what I mean? Again, with the names coming off, you know, where they do that is kind of tricky because you could play the game where maybe you trade back and try to play that, but at the same time, someone jumps ahead of you because they know you need one, and that can get risky. I'll throw a little bit of a wild card out there. I want to see him, Ben. I want to see him spend day two draft capital go get Brandon Ayuk. I think that, and that's something I kind of talked to you about a little bit offline, but I'm gonna get crazy enough to just throw it out there. I think they need to go get Brandon Ayuk. I think that the 49ers drafting a receiver at the end of the first round is a clear sign that they're not going to pay Brandon what he wants to get paid. This team has $100 million in cap space as of next year. You bring him in, you tack on that extension. It's going to be expensive, but it's going to take care of your young quarterback. Give him a guy that, I mean, he himself told us on his Zoom press conference, he talks to him 3-4 times a day. They did a live beforehand. You said that I think Justine Anderson was reporting.
Yeah.
They did a live after. Like, look, Jaden and Brandon are going to have a relationship, period. So if you're the Washington Commanders, have that relationship in your locker room. And, oh, by the way, have one of the better receivers in the league joining Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson.
Not to mention the guy who drafted Brandon Ayuk is not running the show here in Adam Peters.
Exactly. And you've got borrowed money. You've got the Chicago Bears second-round pick. You've got the 49ers third-round pick. Granted, it's number 100, but you still have that. And maybe a future pick. I mean, the 49ers want a first-round pick. But at the end of the day, right now, they have to understand the best they're going to get is maybe first-round value. And that's where, you know, the Commanders maybe give up a couple of day two picks either this year or maybe a second this year, a second next year, whatever it is. Make it happen. And then look at 30. If you give up 36 and then at 40, you want to play that game, trade back to maybe 50, try to get one of those tackles there and recoup some of that draft capital. I think they need to go hard after trying to get Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fascinating. It would be – they have not done a single move this entire – since Peters took control, that's been on the aggressive front. Yeah. Even the free agents they signed, modest signings for in terms of salary, which all of it makes perfect sense in terms of the way I've looked at it, which is this is about 2025, not 2024. But the circumstances with Ayuk are just so unique because, as you said, the relationship with the quarterback and the GM. We'll see. I think for San Fran, the wonder has got to be, are you willing to play this year going for the Super Bowl and deal with him next year, even if that means losing him, and get the comp third? Or say, nah, we need to do it now. I kind of almost wonder if they're going to stay with it. But, yes, I think it's an interesting enough scenario because the goal also, as we said, help the rookie as much as you possibly can. Last thing before we go, I'll just say for whatever it's worth, Roger Rosengarten, the offensive tackle from Washington, I think he's interesting. He played 2 years both left and right side of the ball. He may be able to come in and play now in ways some of these other guys can't. I've heard Mel Kiper say – some of the guys who are already picked can't. I heard Mel Kiper say he thinks he could, if he'd stayed another year, could be a first-round pick next year. Draft him, play him at left tackle with Lucas this year. Then next year, draft another tackle, move him to the right side if Wiley is gone. Yeah. Go from there. Last thing, 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. Mm-hmm. But we were all sitting here in this room going, what the heck? Like, each one I understand, even Bo Nix going to Sean Payton in Denver because they just have nothing. But, wow, no defensive players picked for the first 14 picks, 6 quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, we know this is an offensive league, but my Lord, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, you know, the things you need in the NFL to be successful, passer, playmaker, pass protector, pass rusher, pass defender. I mean, only 2 of those 5 are defensive. But those 2 of those 5 are very, very important, and you have some really good talents on the board. I mean, the quarterback taking that confuses me and perplexes me the most is the Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr., and that's nothing against Michael Penix Jr.
Bizarre,
Michael Penix Jr. as a potential prospect, but you're taking a guy who's about to be 24 years old, putting him behind Kirk Cousins for, you figure, at least 2 years. It has to be the quote-unquote plan, and there's just so many layers to why that's messed up. And, oh, by the way, you didn't need to take him at 8. You could have traded back and probably gotten him at 11, 12, you know, 13, something like that. Like the Denver Broncos, I don't think anybody thinks the Broncos were going to go after Penix if they didn't get Bo Nix. The Vikings wanted J.J. McCarthy, so you trade back to 11, let the Vikings move up, get J.J., you get Michael at 11, maybe another pick out of it. They could have gone defense, you know what I mean? You could add an edge rusher to your defense or something like that.
It just seems like they were a team. Yeah. The way I kept playing, I was like, they got an 80-something-year-old owner who has already kind of come out and said, we kind of need to win now. They looked at Belichick, who is the ultimate, why he made no sense here, because he's the ultimate win now situation. They signed Kirk Cousins to a gajillion dollars. Cool. All makes sense if you're trying to win, and then you draft. And again, it's not even, like you said, he's already older. At least like J.J. McCarthy, who they could have taken, is 21.
Right.
So if you were like, okay, look, we're going to do this and we're going to let him retire, I would still really think it's weird. But, hey, we'll see. I got to digest the first round later because it was a lot happening today, needless to say. But yeah, very, very fascinating. All right. Well, we got plenty more to discuss tomorrow. Appreciate everybody for checking out the podcast. As always, go listen to David with Locked On Commanders and read his work over at SI. And my guy, I will see you, hopefully not bright and early tomorrow, but I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah, in a few hours, right?
Sadly, in a few hours. Yeah. Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.